instead of not.
This summer, we are doing a series on Proverbs. Proverbs to help us gain some wisdom. These Proverbs, these little sayings in this book of Proverbs are like little lights that illumine our life, like the little candles on the altar illumine our altar, and that the Holy Spirit can work through them to help brighten our lives. We've looked at various Proverbs, the wisdom on graduation day. Wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. Then on Father's Day, we looked at the promise that if we rear up our children in the way that they should go, maybe some things will happen in between, but when they're old, they won't get lost, and that's a great promise. And then last week, John Bruce helped you think about the power of words, so I hope you were inspired to choose your words carefully on this past week. Now we come to a topic in this Proverbs that's a little harder, and that is, it has to do with pride here. Pride. Now, pride, if we look at this, the scripture, I guess it's over here, that I've chosen is in the 16th chapter, the 18th and the 19th verses. It says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit among the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." Or, as the more popular version of this parable is what's on your bulletin cover, and that is, pride goes before the fall. I think we all know the truth of this. Pride goes before the fall. I don't think I'm probably the only one that's ever been more self-confident and then had it kind of the bubble burst, like being in school maybe and think, oh, I know that. I don't have to study for that test. And then when the test comes to, oh, not do so well, and realize you kind of wish you could take that back, or maybe you've bragged about your team and it's been a really good team, and you've bragged about how good everything is, and then an aunt or uncle comes to see your team, and what might happen? You lose, right? Or you think you've got this PowerPoint thing right down to the, you know what it is, and then you hit the clicker and the wrong screen comes up and there's nothing you can do about it, like I did 2 weeks ago with Morning Has Broken, you know. I mean, it just happens. Pride goes before the fall. Now, this is an interesting proverb, but it's not the only proverb in Proverbs that talks about pride. I mean, there are quite a few of them. There's the one that says in 11:2 that says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But wisdom is with the humble." Kind of says the same thing, doesn't it? And then in 18:12 it says, "Before destruction, one's heart is haughty, but humility goes before honor." Isn't it all saying the same thing? Or there's some really good advice in 27:2 that says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." Well, that's interesting. Or then there's this one, which I really didn't realize was a proverb. This one sounds very similar to a parable that Jesus told. It says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Do you remember the parable that Jesus told about when you go to a banquet, don't sit down in the place of honor and then have the host tell you go sit someplace lower, but instead go sit lower and have them come tell you to come up? I didn't realize Jesus was just preaching on the scripture, actually, because this is a parable that's right there. So Jesus warned us about pride. Also, the Apostle Paul warned about pride. Listen to this from Philippians 2:3. Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit or pride, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves." So Paul talked about pride too. Jesus talked about pride. The Proverbs talked about pride. So we need to think about pride. But in many sense, Isn't pride a good thing? Don't we want to have pride in our work if we do a good job? I want you all to be proud of the church so that you would invite people. I want you to be proud. You should be. We're proud of being Americans. We're proud of our country. So is pride always wrong? Actually, when we have pride in something, it means that we know it's a really good thing and we're grateful for it. So when we say, oh, I'm proud of my church, we know that it's a good thing and we're grateful for it. When we say, I'm proud of my country, we know that it's a good thing and we're grateful for it. So pride is not a bad thing, but we have to watch our step carefully when it comes to pride, because this good pride, pride that's a good thing, can be a problem. But, you know, we don't want to be without pride, because if someone has no pride, then they're really not appreciating the good gifts and the talents that God has given them. If we're always putting ourselves down, that's not a good thing. So we have to watch our step with pride. We don't want to have too little pride, but we don't want to have too much pride. So this good pride can kind of get puffed up. And that's the kind of pride that the scripture is talking about, this puffed up pride that is being talked about in Proverbs today in the scripture. Some other really kind of better synonyms for it are arrogance or haughtiness or insolence or rebelliousness. Actually, it's when this kind of pride presumes to have more authority than is warranted. That's the kind of pride that we're talking about here. A good example of this kind of pride is from the movie Beauty and the Beast, Gaston. Have you seen Beauty and the Beast and you know Gaston? I mean, he is the personification of this puffed up kind of pride. He is very good looking and he knows it, and he is powerful and strong, and every time he goes by a mirror, he kind of has to stop and look in the mirror and admire himself. You know, he's this kind of guy. And so how many have lots of you seen the movie? And most of you seen the movie? Well, for those of you that didn't, I wanted to show you a clip, and my pride said, oh, I know, I now have a DVD ripper, and I can rip that DVD so that I can show you this nice clip. However, like when you get too prideful, somebody pushes puts their finger in their bubble, and it, well, for some reason, it didn't exactly rip just right, and the sound doesn't come off real good, but I got a couple clips just to give you a little of the flavor of Gaston here, and not all the words come out, but you can put the words in it. This is when he decides that he wants to marry Belle, the pretty girl.
I said she's gorgeous and I fell. Here in town there's only she who is beautiful as well. So I'm making plans to marry Belle.
And all the other girls love him, but he is making plans to marry Belle because there's no other girl as beautiful as me. The me got caught out there. But so then he goes to her house, and he's so confident that when he asks her to marry him, that she will say yes, that he has the band all ready to go, so that when he comes out the door with Belle, they will start playing Here Comes the Bride, and they'll have the wedding right there. He is so confident. So he goes, knocks on her door, and she looks through the little door hole, and this is what happens.
Oh. Gaston, what a pleasant surprise.
Isn't it, though? I'm just surprises. You know, not a girl in town who wouldn't love to be in your shoes. This is the day.
Okay, he has to admire himself a little bit. And he goes on to tell her about his plans, about how they're going to have all these children, these strapping young boys just like him, and how she's going to tickle his feet and rub his feet or whatever. And she, of course, is repelled by the whole thing because he is so obnoxious with his pride. And so it ends with as she is by the door and he is trying to convince her to marry him. She opens the door and you'll kind of see what happens next.
But
he ends up in the mud. So he goes flying out the door and ends in the mud. Well, you got the idea. He's the personification of puffed up pride. Now, none of us, of course, are quite as bad as Gaston. I mean, he is exaggerated, and we're not as bad as that. None of us. But the truth is that it's hard for us to see our own pride. It's much easier for us to see pride in other people than it is for us to see it in ourselves. And I think it's true here, not only just for Gaston, but for all of us. As we say, I heard this, that pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the person who has it. You know, when it was interesting when the kids all said, you know, do you like somebody who brags a lot? No, we don't like that. I mean, it kind of turns us off, right? And we think, well, they should know this proverb, let another praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Don't you all kind of know somebody that you wish would read this proverb? You know, somebody's just a little too puffed up, and you kind of wish that, oh, they would know this? Okay, so we can all think of somebody else, but now I want you to stop thinking of that person, and I want you to look at it. And ask yourself, have I kind of talked a little bit too much about myself lately? Have I bragged about anything? Listen, I am just coming back from a family reunion. And I know I talked more about myself and my church and what was going on. I try to ask people about themselves, but, you know, if they don't talk too much, it's much easier to talk about yourself because you know about that. Isn't it true? Am I the only one here? I don't think so. We all need to struggle with this. We all need to look at that and say, because we all know people who have to kind of brag about themselves. They aren't good at something. They have to tell you they're good at it. But sometimes it's true of all of us. So we have to be careful about this puffed up pride. But there's another thing about this puffed up pride that's very true. And this puffed up pride is the kind of pride that looks down on others. Now, this is really hard not to do, especially if you're good at something. You know, if you are a good artist and then you see somebody else's drawing or painting that isn't as good as yours, it's kind of hard not to look down on them, isn't it? It's kind of hard if you're a good actor or actress and you see some poor acting to not look down on it. It's hard if you're a good cook and you go someplace that there isn't such good cooking. It's a little hard not to look down on the person that can't cook as well as you can. If you can hit a ball really well, it's a little hard to look down, not to look down on somebody that swings time after time after time and doesn't hit it. If you can preach a pretty good sermon, it's a little hard not to look down on somebody who doesn't preach quite as good a sermon as you think you can preach. And so we all have to ask ourselves, do we look down on somebody who's not doing something quite as good as we know we can do it? But I saw this that really struck me. It said, if you're looking down on others, then you're not looking up to God. So the next time you start looking down on somebody because they're not doing something quite as good as you think you can do it or as you know somebody else can do it, then stop and ask yourself if you really are looking up toward God. Because we need to keep our eyes on God and look with others, look at others with God's eyes and not our own. So let's not look down on others. Another real danger with this puffed up pride is that it can cause us to be stubborn. It can cause us to be so stubborn that we think that our way is the only right way. And we refuse to give in when we're puffed up with this kind of pride. A terrible example of that happened in 1986 on the Black Sea near Russia. And it happened as two ships collided in this Black Sea, and it was during a time that it was really, really cold, and hundreds of people were thrown into the Black Sea and were killed immediately because of the temperature of the water. Hundreds of people died. And as they investigated this accident where these two ships came together, they found it was not because there was some kind of technical difficulty. The radar did not fail. It wasn't even because there was some kind of natural difficulty like fog or something. These two captains of the two ships had been in contact with each other. They knew they were on a collision course, but both of them were so prideful that they thought they had the right of way, and they refused, both captains refused to change their course first until it was too late and they collided. We can say, how stupid is that? But do we need to look at our own lives, and is our pride about anything causing us to be on a collision course with someone or something that may cause disaster? If it is, we need to take our bulletin cover home and put it up on our refrigerator and remind ourselves what? That pride comes before the fall. We don't want that to happen. Well, this is 4th of July weekend. This is the weekend that we celebrate our country, that we look at our country with pride. And we can say, well, we're proud to be an American. We're proud to be Americans. I'm proud to be an American. This is a wonderful country. We have done a lot of great things as a country. I mean, we've had this experiment in democracy, which really has lasted for a couple hundred years more. And we have elections, and people lose elections and don't go trying out to kill the person who won. I mean, that happens in a lot of other countries. We have a lot of wonderful things about our country. We sang, "My country, 'tis of thee I sing, land of the pilgrim's pride." I mean, it's good to be proud of our country. But the same thing is true with us as a country as is true with us individually. It's okay to be proud, but we don't want that kind of puffed up pride, that kind of puffed up pride that brags so much about ourselves that people don't like us, but that looks down on other people who can't, other countries who can't do things quite as well as we can. Or makes us so stubborn that we think our way is the only right way. I think it would be helpful for us to heed the words of Abraham Lincoln when in 1863 he called for a day of prayer and fasting, a day of national humiliation. And listen what he said. He said, "We have been the recipient of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which persevered us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. Yes, we have a great country, but we must look up to God, not down on the other nations. I love our closing hymn. It was a favorite of Millie Spa. Millie, are you here today? I hope so. Because this is also a favorite of mine. Because to me, this shows the healthy kind of national pride that we need to have. It talks about, this is my home, the country where my heart is. Here's Detroit. Here are my hopes on our government, my dreams of democracy, my holy shrines. But other hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. We can be proud of our country, but we need to know that we can't look down on other countries either, because they're wonderful too. When we have this kind of puffed up pride, there can be problems. We need to look at those proverbs that say, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But wisdom is with the humble. Think of that word, humble. The other proverb that says, before destruction, one's heart is haughty, pride. But humility goes before honor. Notice, humility. So, as we need to watch our step with pride, what's the help? What's the way that we can watch our step with a pride? It's by walking with humility. Humility, which thinks about others and rejoices when others succeed. There was this neat story about this guy from Sparta. His name is Siddhartha. See, I can't pronounce these big things, but anyway, Siddhartha's was in Sparta when they were trying this experiment with democracy, and they were going to have 300 people elected as their governing board. And this guy was a very respected man in Sparta, and he was running to be one of those 300 people, like their senate or something like that, and he didn't make it. And his friends were saying, oh, and they're trying, we don't understand why you didn't make it. You're such a great guy. And he said, I just rejoice. I am happy that there are 300 better men than me in Sparta. And actually, he went down in their history as a legend because of his humility. Isn't it great when you can rejoice when somebody else succeeds and is great? You know, if we can rejoice when other people succeed, just think how much more rejoicing we're going to do. For those people who can only rejoice when they succeed, they only get to rejoice this much. But if you rejoice not only when you succeed, but when everybody else succeeds, then you're just rejoicing all the time. So it's much better to be filled with humility, which can rejoice when others succeed. Or another wonderful story that I want to close with was about Booker T. Washington, who is a renowned educator, and he had become the president of Tuskegee Institute. He was well known everywhere and respected. But one day he was walking down the street in a rather well-to-do area of town, and this little older white woman saw him and said to him, "Would you like to earn some extra money? Would you chop some wood for me?" Well, now, he could have been very insulted. He was an important person. This was obviously a racist kind of comment there. But instead, he had some time that day. So he said, "All right, I'd be glad to help you out." So he rolled up his sleeves, he chopped the wood, and he carried it in and put it by her fireplace. There was a young woman there when he did that who recognized him. "Oh, my goodness!" And he left, and then so she told the woman who it was who she had asked to chop some wood for her. Well, she was totally embarrassed then, and the next day she went to his office and apologized, and said, "I am so sorry, I didn't know who you were." And he said, "Well, you know, that's all right. Said, occasionally I like to do some manual labor. Besides, I'm always glad to help out a friend," and shook her hand. Well, that endeared him to her in a special way, and she became one of his greatest supporters and helped raise thousands of dollars for Tuskegee Institute. It was a blessing. His humility brought him many blessings. So maybe somebody's asking you to do something that's beneath your dignity, or maybe somebody didn't give you all the credit that you deserve, or somebody's done something that just kind of irks you a little bit. Let your pride just kind of be deflated. You don't want to end up in the mud like Gaston. You want to have good self-worth that doesn't need to look down on others, that doesn't need to have your own way all the time. If there's one person that ever had the right to be proud, to be puffed up with pride, it would be our Lord Jesus Christ, who did everything perfectly. But he was so humble that he humbled himself to die on a cross. Why? Not for his own sin, but for our sin. When we have failed to watch our step and we've fallen, as we come to communion on this day, I hope you will remember Jesus, who died for our sin in humility. And then go forth with the right kind of pride, the right kind of pride that realizes that, yes, we walk humbly. We are worthy. We are a special child of God. We have been forgiven. So we walk humbly, realizing our own self-worth, but also rejoicing in the worth of others.